In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What an honor it is and a privilege, Steve, to be here today to share God's Word with you and God's people here at St. Paul's, to gather together around Word and Sacrament as we celebrate that great love that God has for us, but also to recognize your ministry here as new called and to be installed assistant pastor for St. Paul's. It's an honor to be here. And I bring all of you greetings today from your brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the Pacific Southwest District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Pacific Southwest District is 310 congregations and 183 schools, preschools, elementary schools, and high schools like this one, scattered throughout Southern California, all of Arizona, and Southern Nevada. And so as we see God at work in so many different ways across the district, we see the opportunities that we have for congregations like St. Paul's, planted in the midst of a community that is continuing to grow, and it's just amazing the amount of building, apartments, and houses that are being built around you today, and the opportunity to take that gospel message to those who make up part of Irvine and the surrounding community. It's also exciting for me as I travel around our district to recognize that on this Sunday and every Sunday, the gospel message of Jesus Christ is spoken in 80 of our congregations in a non-English language. And so that we are reaching also across diversity to the tremendous multicultural kind of community that we have become in the Southwest. So they join you today, those congregations, in praying for you and for you, Steve, and for your ministry. I want to focus on the gospel lesson for this morning that was read, that continuation of the reading of the Sermon on the Mount. The last three Sundays we have been looking at, in the gospel lessons, the Sermon on the Mount and seeing and hearing the teaching of Jesus. It's kind of interesting in Matthew's gospel that five different times in his gospel, he sits the people down to teach. And in the midst of all the miracles he's doing and all of the things that he's saying, but there are five different times that Jesus sits his people down and takes time for instruction. And the first of those being here in the Sermon on the Mount. That Jesus, early on in his ministry, gathers a crowd around him and he walks up on the hillside and he sits down and he begins to teach. And as he does, we're told his disciples and others gather around him. And in the last couple of lessons there, he began by talking about the heart. He talked about the blessed are the meek and blessed are the humble and blessed are those who put their trust in the Lord. And then last week in the gospel there, Jesus went on and talked about the fact that we are the salt of the earth, that we are a city set on a hill, that we are the light of the world, that as people see us and they see who we are, may they give glory to their Father who is in heaven. And then we come to this text for today. And this is a tough text. These are hard teachings of Jesus. But if we try to summarize them for a moment, what we really hear Jesus talking about in this gospel lesson is relationships. And how important our relationships are in the kingdom of God. And he talks about anger being the same as murder, and how many relationships have been destroyed because of anger. He talks about the priority of reconciliation. Notice that Jesus says that relationship with our brothers and sisters is so important that if you know that your brother or your sister has a grievance against you, if there is a broken relationship, that before you bring your offering to God, go and make peace with your brother or your sister. For it is important that before we come to worship our God, that we are in good relationship, that we are at peace with those with whom we live. And then he talks about lust being equal to the violation of God's sexuality. He talks about lust being unfaithfulness. He talks about divorce and the destruction of the marriage bond. He talks about false promises, a lack of trust, our credibility. And as we read those lessons today and we hear Jesus teaching about relationships and those things that break relationships, it's very easy to sit back and say, well, what's he talking about? What's Jesus really mean? Nobody can do that. If we read those things that Jesus identifies there in the Sermon on the Mount, we have to sit back and say, well, nobody can keep that. And Jesus would say, you get my point. That's the point. That when we look at our relationship with God and our relationship with brother and sister and those things that destroy those relationships, we can't keep it all. We can't be perfect. That we are sinful, that we do disobey, and that's why we begin our worship by admitting before God that we are sinful. And by admitting before God that we come today in need of his forgiveness for our failures. You see, if we could do perfectly the things that Jesus talks about here in the Sermon on the Mount, there'd be no need for a Jesus. Jesus talked last week already in the Sermon on the Mount that our righteousness should be better than the scribes and the Pharisees who are trying to keep the law, but our righteousness is not because we can keep the law. Our righteousness is because we have one who's died for us and risen again. Our righteousness is because we are the forgiven people of God. But so often, when people think that they can establish that relationship with God by themselves, when people think that they can establish that relationship, that peace with God by themselves, then we hear things like, well, it doesn't really matter what you do. After all, God forgives, so why do we worry about it? Or to say, well, I do the best that I can. Yeah, I know I'm not perfect, but I do the best that I can. Or even to say, well, it's okay. God doesn't care. Or as we see in the Old Testament and we see in some cultures today, in some religions today, if you want to appease God, you just make a sacrifice. And if you can make a big enough sacrifice, then everything is okay. I'll never forget the two trips that I've made to India over the last few years. And one of the places that we traveled to in India was a place called Varanasi. And Varanasi is a sacred city to the Hindus. And Varanasi is one of those places, I honestly admit, that when I walk down the streets of Varanasi, I feel in the presence of evil. Because as you walk down the street, you see the little shrines that are there to the various gods. And as you walk down the streets past those shrines, you come to the Ganges River. And there in the Ganges River, which is one of the most polluted rivers of the world, you find people who have made pilgrimages there. And as they've made pilgrimages there, they bathe in this very polluted water. And they believe that by washing in that water, a type of baptism, if you would, that they have made their commitment to God and they have been washed clean by that sacrificial bathing. And it just brings tears to my eyes to think that that's how people get right with God. Or there may be other types of sacrifices that people think they're making. But the reality is, we come this morning to worship because God so loved the world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That we come this morning admitting before God that we aren't everything God wants us to be. We aren't everything our spouse wants us to be. We aren't everything our children want us to be. We aren't everything that our boss wants us to be. But we are right with God because of the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. That we understand that relationship and the promises that are ours in the blood of Christ. We heard that also, that same kind of a theme, in the Old Testament reading for today. in the lesson from Deuteronomy. There in Deuteronomy, as Moses is preparing for the children to enter into the promised land, they've come through the wilderness journey. They've come through all the ordeals of the Exodus. They have finally gotten to the edge of the promised land. And Moses says to the people, as you're entering the promised land, remember who brought you here. Remember why you've come. Remember the journey you've been through, but when you enter the promised land, remember who it is that brought you here. It is God who brought you here. And don't make gods of other things, as you saw in Egypt. But rather, remember your God, and God is going to bless you as you enter into his land. Follow his ordinances, and there you will be blessed. Well, we know the story. For a while, everything was good. And for a while, they remembered the Exodus. And for a while, they remembered that wilderness journey. And for a while, they remembered who had brought them there. But the people of God again forgot. They forgot who was their God. And they began to worship in other ways and worship other gods. And again, we see God who then has to send prophets. For you see, our God is a rescuing God. Our God is one who loves his people and who comes seeking his people that they might experience his love. And over again through the rest of the Old Testament, God sends prophets, God sends messengers to try to call people back to faithfulness. And then, as Paul tells us, when the time was just right, when everything was ready, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to save us who live under the law. It is Jesus who comes to rescue. And it is Jesus who, as he is preparing his disciples for their ministry, sits them down there in the Sermon on the Mount, and who talks to them about life in the kingdom, a life of relationships with brothers and sisters, a life sharing Christ, a life, as Jesus commands at the end, now you're going to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Steve, you spend 5 days a week trying to help students understand that loving God, and trying to help them connect that loving God to their lives. And as you serve here as an assistant pastor, you spend time with these God's people, trying to help them understand what does it mean to connect to a rescuing God, one who's come to seek and to save the lost. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 6 says, well, because we know that God is such a forgiving God, does that mean we can just go out and sin all we want to? Because then we can be forgiven all the more. In other words, the more sinning we do, the more forgiving we are, and the more God loves us. Well, that's not really, Paul says, no, that's not really what God intends. But he intends for us to be faithful. And that's why Paul, in the end of chapter 8 in Romans, can say there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Our God is a rescuing God. And St. Paul's is planted here in this community amidst broken people, amidst broken relationships. Some of us come today for worship because we are broken, because we're struggling with a relationship with a husband or a wife, because we're struggling with a relationship with a son or a daughter, because we're struggling with a relationship with our boss, because we're struggling with a relationship with a neighbor, because we're struggling with a relationship in our life. But we came here today because we're seeking to hear the peace of God. We came here today because we seek to be reminded of the water of our baptism, That as God touched us in the water of our baptism, he has declared us forgiven and he has called us by name and he has said, you are mine. We come today because we want to experience the presence of Christ in body and blood and bread and wine in the sacrament. We want to hear those words. This is given for you. This is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And there's no greater joy as a pastor than to share those gifts with God's people. But we also are reminded today that the vast majority of the people who are within earshot of this church, the vast majority of the people who are within walking distance of this church, don't know where to find peace. They don't know where to turn to have those broken relationships restored. They don't know that if they want to find a loving God, you look for a loving God through a cross in an empty tomb. And so it is that God plants us here, that God plants St. Paul's here, or wherever St. Paul's is eventually going to get planted. Only God knows that, but God plants his church because God is a seeking God. Because God is a rescuing God. And so he calls us to take that message of Christ's love to the world. He calls us to be salt and light. And when we in our daily lives reach out to somebody that we know is in pain, when we reach out to somebody that we know is hurting, and we say to that person, I'm going to pray for you today, we are reaching out with the love of Christ to one who needs healing. When we offer love and compassion, when we touch the lives of those who are the least fortunate with the love of Christ, we are being salt and we are being light, as Jesus talks about it. It's a world of broken relationships. Isn't it amazing? You can turn on the news any morning, and one of the first things you hear on the news almost every morning is of shootings. Somebody got angry with somebody else and they pulled out a gun and shot him. Somebody got angry because the music was too loud in the car next to them, so they shot him. Somebody got angry because somebody threw a bowl of popcorn in their face in a movie theater and they shot him. Because people are living with broken relationships. And the one who comes to bring healing is the one who gave his life for us. So Steve, as you continue ministry here with God's people, heal. Bring that healing message of Jesus. And people of St. Paul's, as you reach out to this community around you, take that healing message of Christ and touch somebody who's broken, that they might know God so loved them too. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen. We now proceed with the installation of Steve Mueller as assistant pastor here at St. Paul's. And we do so and we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, through the church's usual order, the Reverend Dr. Stephen P. Mueller has been called by the Lord of the Church to be assistant pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irvine, California. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, by your Son, our Savior, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds to guide and feed your flock. Therefore, we pray, make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and to administer your means of grace. And grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The office of holy ministry is one instituted by God himself, and so it's important that we hear what God has to say to us on this day. We hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the institution of the office of the holy ministry.
Jesus gave them fortune of fame. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 18 to 20.
Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23.
We hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the responsibilities of the office of the holy ministry.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." John 21, verses 15 to 17.
And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Luke 24, 46 and 47.
"For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25.
"Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16.
We hear what Holy Scripture says concerning the strength and promises that God gives to those in the office of the holy ministry.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16.
Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18.
Continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17.
Dear brother in Christ, the Lord grant that you receive and keep these words in your heart so that you may be strengthened and encouraged in your labors. Please come forward. God gathers his church by and around his holy gospel and thereby also grants it growth and increase according to his good pleasure. That this may be done, he has established the office of the holy ministry into which you have been called by the church and have been ordained and consecrated by prayer and the laying on of hands. It is fitting that you should again acknowledge the responsibilities of this holy office in which you are to serve as assistant pastor here at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. In the presence of this congregation and before our Lord God, to whom you must give an account now and at that last day, I now ask you, you acknowledge that the Lord has called you through his church into the ministry of word and sacrament.
I do.
Do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
Yes, I believe and confess the canonical scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
Do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures, do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
Yes, I believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, because they are in accord with the Word of God. I also reject all the errors they condemn.
Do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called articles, the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and the Formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith?
Yes, I make these confessions my own, because they are in accord with the Word of God.
And do you promise that you'll perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with Holy Scripture and with these confessions?
Yes, I promise, with the help of God.
Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? Will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and the dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living?
Yes, I will, with the help of God.
And finally, will you honor and adorn the office of the holy ministry with a holy life? Will you be diligent in the study of holy scriptures and the confessions? And will you be constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care?
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that which is more advantage to you. You've heard
heard the solemn promise of him called to be your assistant pastor, will you receive him, showing that love, honor, and obedience in the Lord that you owe to the shepherd and teacher placed over you by your Lord Jesus Christ? Will you support him by your gifts and pray for him always, that in his labors he may retain a cheerful spirit, and that his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Will you honor and uphold your pastor as he serves Christ in all his God-pleasing responsibilities? Will you aid him as he cares for his family? Will you be diligent to put the best instruction on everything, recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
The Almighty and most merciful God strengthen and assist you always. Now can you see? Are you willing and ready to assume this public trust and responsibility?
I am.
Stephen P. Mueller, I install you as assistant pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Please leave.
I would invite the pastors present then to please come forward and offer a word of blessing.
Steve, God gives gifts to his servants, talents and abilities considerably so in your case, but of all of the gifts you've ever received from God, the most important one is the fact something that happened to you as a tiny child when God granted you the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. So my word of encouragement to you this morning is the one that the writer wrote to the Hebrew Christians when he said, keep fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So every morning when you get up, remember to fix your eyes on Jesus and remember that he's the author of who you are in his kingdom and everything he wants you to do in his kingdom. And then may God richly and strongly bless the service to which he's called you here.
Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. May the God who came to us in Christ bless you as you help to make disciples of all nations, in all the nations here in this place. May he open your mouth to preach the good news of Christ, and may he keep you in that true faith.
Steve, may the Lord bless you in your ministry at St. Paul's. May he give you the gifts that you need to gather the saints, to comfort them in Christ, to guide them in Christ-like living, and send them to be salt and light in the world.
The Apostle Paul is the great example of one who proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, who administered the sacraments, and who as a missionary went into the entire world. Concordia University, where you serve as chairman of Christ College, you have an opportunity to proclaim and teach that word. And now as a pastor in a congregation, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, you have a continuing opportunity to do as the Apostle Paul did. And so we leave you with his words in Romans 1:16, when he said to his people, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes.
Dear brother, from what I hear, you are a man who comes to us in the manner of St. Paul. And I remind you of what he said in 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where he comes here, that he has not come, he does not want them to know him for his lofty speech. But there's only one thing, and that is to know Jesus and him crucified. And we believe that you will come to us and come to us in that very manner.
Pastor, you are called to share the burden of the people that God has entrusted to your care. I encourage you then to take your burdens to Jesus, for he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Dear brother Steve, we have been serving together in ministry for over 2 decades in one form or another. But as of today, we begin a journey as partners in the holy ministry here at St. Paul's, side by side. And I ask you to join me, dear brother, in living out in our relationship to one another that we may be more effective in serving this flock gathered here, James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins one to another, and you may be healed. I look forward to our ongoing relationship, confess our sins to each other, to share forgiveness to one another, to encourage one another in Christ's humility, that we would be molded into his effective servants for the people of God at St. Paul's. In Jesus' name, amen.
Steve, remember Paul's words to Timothy when he said, "That which we proclaim now with the spirit of timidity, with power, love, and self-control." You may return to your seats. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, you have graciously promised that through the preaching of the crucified Christ, those who believe in him will be saved. By your Holy Spirit, grant grace to Steve, whom you have given to be assistant pastor here at St. Paul's. Grant him readiness and steadfastness in this ministry, patience, understanding, and great zeal. Support and strengthen him in your service, that by your word your church may be built and increased. Through your Son, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And Almighty, most merciful God and Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have established your church to be a temple and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks that you continue to provide shepherds to feed and serve your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. We humbly implore you ever to strengthen the labors of your ministers, that through their ministry of word and sacrament, your people may increase in your knowledge and service and grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory now and forever.
Amen.
Please rise. Steve, go therefore and be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock. Preach the word of God. Administer the holy sacraments. Offer prayer for all the faithful, instruct, watch over, and guide the flock among which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy, for you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Continue with the prayer of the church, found on page 11, we rise. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, and for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all of our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and from every evil. That all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Please be seated. As we gather our offerings, I invite you to take a look at the communion card that's in front of you as we prepare to come to the altar of our Lord. We confess that in the body and in the bread and wine we receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. All Christians who share this confession, who are repentant of their sins and desire our Lord's blessing, are welcome at this altar. If you're still learning about that or you don't share our confession, we still invite you to come forward. Simply fold your hands as we come by that we may give you a blessing. And know that we're ready and eager to speak with you about your participation in the sacrament or about any other matter. God bless you as you prepare. Service of the sacrament on page 12. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin giving him into death that we may not die eternally. Because he has now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. Savior Jesus Christ.
Strengthen and preserve me steadfast in the most true faith unto life everlasting.
Depart in peace in the name of the Father
and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
for your kindness and your love that you've shown to me through the years, and especially today. There's a reception in the cafe around the corner just after the service. Pastors are going to stay here and take some pictures, but we invite you all to come for a time of fellowship. But before we go, I do want to say a word of thanks to my fathers and brothers in the ministry and to President Stottero for being here. We thank you for being part of this day and for your continued support of the gospel and all you do for the kingdom. Go with the peace of God.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Ellie. We're going to take a picture, guys.
That's blessings to you.
Okay. All right, very good.